Welcome to a special edition of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we bring you an episode of our special holiday musical, The Innkeeper's Wife.
You want to know about that night? Everyone does, eventually. Now they come from everywhere, pilgrims, scholars, the simply curious. And they all ask the same question. What was it like? What did you see? But they never ask the right question. They never ask what came before. What led us to that moment when everything changed. So let me tell you about the days when I had forgotten how to breathe. When peace was just a word other people used. This is where it begins. Not with angels. Not with stars. But with exhaustion. With too much to do and not enough hands to do it. With a decree from a man who had never set foot in Bethlehem and never would. My husband Simon, a good man, the kind who shows love through labour, through mended fences and stocked larders and staying awake so others can sleep. We'd been married 23 years that winter. 23 years of building something together, stone by stone. And in all that time, I'd never seen him so worried.
The lamp oil won't last the week.
I know.
We're down to our last barrel of wine, and what's left of the barley won't feed half the people coming.
I know, Simon.
And somehow, when the tax collectors arrive, we're supposed to have coin enough to satisfy Caesar's appetite.
I know. When was the last time you slept?
When was the last time there was time to sleep? And so it begins again. Come on, boy. What is it?
Master Simon, Mistress Leah, the caravan from Hebron, they've arrived early. 20 people, maybe more, and they're all asking for rooms.
20? We have space for 8. Maybe 10 if we double them up.
They say they'll pay extra. They say... Oh, let me get that, Master.
Leah, thank the Lord you're here. My cousin Rachel and her entire family just arrived from Jericho, and there's no room anywhere. Not at the house of Tobias, not at old Benjamin's place.
Miriam, we're all ready.
I know, everyone's already full, but surely you could find somewhere.
Innkeeper.
How may I serve you?
By order of Caesar Augustus, all persons are required to register in their ancestral cities for the census. This establishment is hereby designated as an official registration point. Imperial assessors will arrive within 3 days. You will provide them accommodation, meals, and workspace. You will be compensated at the standard rate.
The standard rate won't cover.
The standard rate. Those are your orders.
The whole world's gone mad.
The whole world's coming to Bethlehem.
At the time of Jesus' birth, Bethlehem was a small, typical Jewish village in the hill country of Judea, located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It was an agricultural center, known for its grain and located on an important trade route. The population was small, estimated at around 2,000 to 3,000 people, with residents living in 1 or 2 room houses built around caves. The village had significant biblical history.
Bethlehem, small upon Judea's hill, where Rachel's tears linger tender still, where Ruth found hope in harvest spread, and Boaz spoke of kinship's thread. From Jesse's fields a shepherd rose, anointed where the olive grows, a humble town where God once said, my promise blooms in the house of bread.
You gave me your own stool, didn't you? The one you keep behind the counter for when your feet give out.
You needed it more than I did.
Leah, my child, I've been walking this earth for 73 years. I know when someone is running on fumes and prayers.
Mostly fumes, if I'm honest. The prayers feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling lately.
Ah, so that's what I see in your eyes. Not just exhaustion, doubt. You know why I made this journey? 4 days on roads, I have no business travelling at my age.
The census? Caesar's decree?
Caesar, I'm too old to worry myself about dictators or emperors. No, child. I came because my grandmother is buried here, and her grandmother before her. I came because Bethlehem is where my people began, and I wanted to stand on that ground one more time before I meet my fathers. Do you know the stories of this place? Of our people?
I used to. My mother would tell them to me when I was small, but that was before life got so loud I couldn't hear them anymore.
Then let me remind you of something. When I was a girl, younger than you can imagine me ever being, I asked my mother a question. I asked her, how do we know the Lord hasn't forgotten us? How do we know he's still there?
What did she say?
She said, count the stories.
Count the stories?
Yes. She said, every time you feel alone, count the stories. Count the times he showed up when all hope was lost. Count the moments when our people stood at the edge of destruction and he reached down and pulled them through. Noah, when the whole world drowned. Abraham and Sarah, when they were too old for promises. Moses at the sea, with an army at his back and nowhere to go.
Those are ancient stories, Ruth. Beautiful stories, but ancient.
Are they, or are they proof? Think about it, child. Generation after generation, crisis after crisis, and every single time, when it mattered most, when the darkness seemed absolute, he showed up. Not always when they expected. Not always how they expected. But he showed up. You're tired. You're overwhelmed. You look around at this chaos and you think, where is God in this? Where is the peace I was promised?
Yes, that's exactly what I think.
Then let me tell you what I've learned in 73 years of living. The same God who parted the Red Sea is the same God who sees you washing dishes at midnight. The same God who sent fire from heaven for Elijah is the same God who knows you're running out of lamp oil. He hasn't changed. He hasn't left. And if he showed up for all those who came before us, he'll show up again.
My grandfather used to say the same thing. Whenever times got hard, he'd start listing the names. Joseph in prison, he'd say. Daniel in the den. The three young men in the fire. He'd go through them one by one, like he was calling witnesses to testify.
Because that's what they are, witnesses. Every story in our scriptures is a witness saying, he was there, he came through, he showed up.
My mother used to sing about it. When we were frightened, when Roman soldiers marched through our streets, she'd gather us children and she'd sing about all the times the Lord rescued his people.
Then let's remember together, right here, right now, in this crowded little inn in the middle of this madness, let's count the witnesses. Let's remember what kind of God we serve. From the beginning to now, from Noah to Moses to David to Daniel, every time it looked impossible, every time hope was gone, he showed up.
For all my complaining, I have to admit, he showed up.
He showed up.
And he'll do it again.
When the waters rose and the rain came down, Noah built an ark on higher ground. God said, I'll save you, I'll see you through. Made a covenant, put his rainbow in view.
He showed up again.
Oh, yes, he did.
He showed up again.
Just like he said, from Genesis to Malachi, he never left our side.
He showed up again and again and again.
Abraham was old, Sarah laughed out loud.
God said,
I'll make nations from you as I vow.
Egypt's
on.
to be continued.